from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
In life, some days are good and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work, both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey. And then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
Good afternoon. At the tone, Pacific Daylight Time will be...
It's 5 o'clock.
5 o'clock.
One step closer to my own personal hell.
This is Primetime on Sports Radio 1080 The Fan.
We expect the best. We're not afraid to break someone. Do you hear me?
Primetime is your source for the best in local, regional, and national sports.
Go ahead and clap. Mediocrity deserves applause.
Isaac Rodden.
I'm miserable. I had to get up at 10 o'clock this morning.
Jason Sakanik.
I'm a dude playing a dude disguised as another dude.
Primetime on 1080 The Fan.
All right. Welcome back. Hope you're having a nice little Thursday. It's your sports bros, Rop and Suk. We are back at 10 Barrel Brewing once again.
But in a sportsy manner. Yesterday was very non-sportsy. Today... more sportsy.
Northwest Portland, we are here for the Bit Night Portland Grand Prix.
Well, Bit Nile, I believe, yes?
Oh, sorry, Bit Nile.
Yeah. It's not Bit Night. Although we tried looking up what Bit Nile was, and I don't think it had launched yet, but it's some sort of online virtual reality platform.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Cool.
Like an online community.
Bit Nile.
It is cool, you jerk.
It is cool. I said cool.
I stare with some sarcasm in you.
No, I'm sure it's great.
Yeah.
The race is not today.
No.
We're not here for the race.
No,
we're just
for the
supporting
kickoff
party. But there are some drivers down here signing on. I tell you that Alex Palou guy.
Yeah, he was the man.
He won it last year, and he's trying to become the third driver besides Michael Andretti and Al Unser Jr. to win three times in Portland.
It's pretty good.
He was
company.
Here earlier, and boy, I tell you, these fans, tops were coming off.
Yeah, the hots. The hots were out in force.
It was wild.
Yeah. By the way, I did some digging into the whole Mount Bachelor thing.
Yeah.
And in 2001, I guess there was a big pissing match. There was a fight over control. So the majority stake, this Utah company that's selling it now, looks like they got the majority share of it for about $19 million. Back in 2001, there was a fight to try to keep it local, and they swiped it. So that was the controlling stake of it. Was like 19
so
million.
So 51%.
54%.
Okay.
They were able to get.
And that was what year?
2001.
Yeah. So it's going to be close.
Yeah, right around that. Maybe somewhere in that 75 to 100 million.
I bet it's 75. And you'll lose that bet.
It's possible. And by the way, the people that sold to him, the local guy, so he got the money. He got whatever it was, the $20 million. And he got lifetime skiing privileges for him and all of his cronies.
Badass.
Yeah, he threw that in there.
I love that.
Yeah, I thought it was kind of fun. Yeah, they bought it for like $20,000 per share and lifetime free skiing privilege for all of his company's employees.
That's smart.
He's a Portland attorney.
So, what's his name?
His Portland attorney represents Powder Shareholders. I don't know.
Yeah, Powder Corp is the company who owns it.
So that's who sold it to him. So I guess that was this guy was named David Baca, maybe? So some Portland guy that had owned it, he was the majority shareholder. So apparently there's a history of a power struggle. That's like an 80s movie. In the 80s, there was always like a bad ski movie where someone was trying to take control of the mountain from like the local mom and pops people and make it very corporate.
Well, if you want to buy a ski mountain.
Yeah, you got, I don't know, 50 to 100 million bucks.
You can.
Mount Bachelors for sale.
So there will be 10 races this weekend out at PIR. 5 different open wheel series. Of course, the big IndyCar race with Alex Palou and everybody is on Sunday. Tickets at raceportland.com. And if you have kids that are 12 or younger, they can get in free. And they can get into the paddock with a ticketed adult for free.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah, so that's going on this weekend. That's why we're here at Tin Barrel again today. Coming up, we have Noah Lyles and Tyreek Hill news.
Yeah, Lyles is being a little bitch.
Who was the best deep passer in the NFL last season? And then we'll get into the club. Simple things that make you happy and Chick-fil-A news.
They do make a strong bird.
And I have an update on my Wiz schedule.
Yeah. People want to know. The over-under set at 5.5 Isaac Rupp Wizzes over the course of the program.
I got to reset this because it's possible that I'm dying of prostate cancer. But I have suddenly become incontinent. I cannot stop peeing.
You pee an awful lot. It's kind of alarming.
I do drink a lot of water on the show, but it's still like, what the hell? And it came out of nowhere. Yeah.
Opens so a lot of sponsorship opportunities for you, though.
That is true.
Pens or Flomax or whatever.
It sure does. Well, I tell you, my flow is great. I'm very hydrated.
And it's a championship level pee.
It is.
Yeah.
But I pee all the time.
I bet you're something on road trips.
I'm basically incontinent. Well, I'm actually going on one this weekend.
Yeah.
And so I guess we'll find out.
Have fun.
I don't know if I can make it. I'm going to Mount Bachelor. I don't know if I can make it.
Are you going to buy it? Is Asahi buying Mount Bachelor?
Damn
did
it.
Did you just break news?
I revealed my plot.
God, here we go. Window daddy. Living large.
So one of the listeners set the over-under on me peeing 5.5 times during the program. We are halfway through the program, a little over halfway through the program. I have peed 3 times.
Someone saying I can hear the ad now. Rob here for Flomax.
Hey, I wouldn't turn it down. I could use, what does it do?
I think supposedly it lets you pee it all out at once.
Oh, fantastic. Are there side effects?
It's for old people. I'm sure there is. It's for old people at night so they don't have to wake up every 20 minutes.
Now, I only pee
once. Joe Theismann does it.
I only get up once. And it's usually like right before I wake up. So that's good.
That's good.
But I think I've got issues.
It's trending in the wrong direction.
Yeah, so we'll keep you posted if we go over under. It is 5:08. Time now for the Hot 5 at 5:08.
Hot topics, hot opinions.
Oh, golly, I'm hot today.
And hot air. It's time for the Hot 5 at 5.
That's hot.
The Hot 5 at 5 on primetime with Isaac and Sue.
No, I mean it. That's very hot.
The Hot 5 at 5 with Isaac and Sue. Brought to you on the fan by Victorico's Mexican Food, the most popular burrito spot in Oregon. Online at victoricos.com. Number 5.
I can't decide if that driver over there is the driver that I think it is. Like an old...
a driver?
Yeah, the guy on the left is.
Yeah.
And I think he... Nah, it's not the same guy.
Okay.
I think he was from Drive to Survive, the show on
the F1 thing.
Yeah, the F1. I don't think that's him. Okay. Anyway, let's go to a real sport, golf.
Yeah, which, by the way, my bet's not looking so good. I did. I placed a $10 bet on Max Homa.
Oh, yeah. He didn't have a very good day.
He didn't have a good day.
So Keegan Bradley is 6-under. He shoots a 66, which is important for him. Now, this is the BMW Championship. It's round one, the top 50 in the world, and then the top 30 from this tournament, or the top 30 in the rankings after this tournament, move on to the Tour Championship, which is next week. So this is the culmination of the golf season. Yeah. Keegan Bradley started the week number 50, but he has the lead after a buttery little 66.
Yeah, but my man, Hideki Matsuyama, right behind him at 5-under. My guy, Max Homa, that I actually bet on, thanks to your little tip yesterday, he had a 2-over today.
They are at Castle Pines in Colorado.
Number 4.
Hideki Matsuyama, 5-under.
Oh, that's my guy. By the way, I'm just smelling fish and chips right now.
I know, it smells good.
So good.
How's the nacho count going out there?
Oh, we see plenty of those coming around.
Dude, I tell you what.
That's a thing.
The beers are flowing.
Yeah, beers are flowing.
And
nachos are flowing.
I see a lot of pizza.
Yeah. By the way, I had a slice yesterday. It was tasty. That's my first time.
Iowa coach Kirk Ferentz has been suspended for his team's opener. This is a school-imposed penalty for an admitted level 2 violation. Apparently, he and assistant coach John Budmeyer, who will also miss the game, contacted quarterback Cade McNamara before he entered the transfer portal.
Has there ever been a suspension for a worse player? You got suspended for recruiting Cade McNamara for like 4 touchdowns and 7 interceptions and like 50% completion? Good work, Iowa. Jeez. If you're going to cheat, at least cheat and get someone good. Did you also see that Colorado went to the Saudis?
Wait, what?
Yeah, Colorado was trying to get some of the Saudi public fund money.
I told you.
Yes.
That's what Oregon State should have been
doing. You should look into that story. Their special teams coordinator had stepped down, and he wrote a big fiery letter. But, yeah, I guess he was over there. Yeah, it's a whole thing. He was over there trying to get some of that Saudi money for the Colorado Buffaloes.
Well, Scott Barnes should be fired. That money's been there for the taking, and there's a lot of it.
He said that they were interested, and Colorado dropped the ball on it.
Of course they are. No. Seahawks make a little move today. They send veteran cornerback Michael Jackson to Carolina for rookie inside linebacker Michael Barrett.
Yeah.
Barrett, he was a 7th-round pick. He did play at Michigan.
That's the connection. This is one of those where McDonald coached him his 1 year at Michigan, probably thought a lot about him. And the Seahawks have a lot of really good depth in the secondary.
But he was in danger of not making the 53 in Carolina. Yeah. So they just swapped him, didn't need Jackson.
Nope.
Got a kid that McDonald liked, and there you go.
You see this a bunch with guys that were in the college game. They want to bring in the guys that they like and they trust. And, you know, whether or not he makes the roster, who knows?
The other trade is that the Eagles have landed wide receiver 3, Jahan Dotson.
Yeah.
He comes over from Washington for a 5th-round pick. No, sorry. My bad. It is a 3rd-round pick and 2 sevens. Washington also sends a 5th over to Philly.
There you go.
But he was the 16th overall pick in 2022.
And he's had 2 nice years. I mean, he's been productive. And he slots in very nicely in Philadelphia. He'll be their 3rd receiver. You can make the argument it's the best receiving room in the NFL. And it just sounds like it wasn't – they kept saying in Washington it wasn't a good fit, that he did have some drop problems. That was his one thing. But they were just saying like he was having a hard time getting off the line. He was struggling with this system. And so it may have just been where it just – like I said, the coaches just weren't vibing with him, but the kid can play. I mean, he's got good numbers his first 2 years in the NFL, and he's not going to be a focal point in Philadelphia, but, you know, that's a hell of a 3rd receiver there.
I'm too far to go. Stop now. Let's do it.
That's it, baby. Shot it from the rooftops.
America's number one fighting force.
Number one.
My number one fan.
Number one.
Number one.
And number one, the Mariners fire skipper Scott Servais. Losers of 8 of 9. They also turf hitting coach Jarrett DeHart. Former Seattle catcher Dan Wilson takes over as interim skip. The M's are right at 500. They are 5 games back of the cheating Astros. There you go.
Well, 6.5 back in the wild card, and it's, you know, this is one of those where the season's going nowhere. You tried making the moves in the deadline. You know, this is just someone has to take the fall for it. So there you go. But Scott Servais was not the problem with this team. But 9 years, 1 playoff appearance, and the last 2 years being so disappointed. Here you go.
Hot 5 at 5 brought to you by Victor Rico's Mexican Food, the most popular burrito spot in Oregon. Order now at victorricos.com. Coming up next, who was the best deep passer in the NFL last season? We're at Tim Barrel Brewing. It's Isaac and Suk on the Fan.
Having a great time out here. Some of the drivers hanging out, getting some autographs. So come on by and join us. We'll be hanging out here till 7 o'clock. We're actually out here yesterday as well to celebrate Pub Beer sponsoring the club. Now, we are down a Rob. But I will tell you, Buckley, in a shocking development, I don't believe this is for a bathroom-related issue. I do believe that we're on to something here.
Who would you tell?
Well, think about this. I'm throwing something out here, conspiracy theory-wise, right?
Okay,
so Rob has the story today about Mount Bachelor being for sale, correct?
Right.
And he's being very coy about the price. He's not aware of it. He doesn't know who's owning it, this and that. And then we find out that Asachi is indeed going to Mount Bachelor this weekend. Find it a little interesting.
Yeah, is he doing a little like Joey Harrington minority ownership stake situation?
Well, I'm just saying. Now, over at the end of that segment, right, Rob's phone starts buzzing. And he's looking down at his phone, and he's giving me, like, the hands up, like, the frustrating sort of thing. Like, oh my gosh. So we get off the air, and Rob turns to me and says, hey, I got to go. I don't know if I'm going to be back in time for the next segment or two. And I'm like, huh? And he goes, I got fires to put out. I got to make calls. And he quickly gets up and leaves. He's now out on the street working the phones.
What?
Does anyone find it? Does anyone find it interesting that Asachi is talking about Mount Bachelor being for sale?
Also, how about no personal business on company time? Let's go.
And now all of a sudden, we find out he's going tomorrow. He's going to miss the show tomorrow and Monday. He's going to be at Mount Bachelor, and now we're randomly taking phone calls in the middle of the program?
Boy, I do feel like we're being left out of the loop here for something.
Yeah, I feel like something's up.
Yeah.
That's all I'm saying. I don't know whether or not Asachi is indeed buying a controlling stake in Mount Bachelor. I just think it's a little suspicious.
Yeah, I'm with you.
I think it's just it's a little funky. A little funky. So Rob will be back at some point, I think, when he's done buying Mount Bachelor. I'm assuming that's what the fire is that he's putting out. But until then, we press on.
His Swiss banks didn't get the right, like, transfer numbers or something like that?
Well, I'm just saying. I just thought, like there was, like, I don't know what that was. But, you know, we all get that, like, that text where you kind of look down at it and you're like, oh, like,
ooh,
you can,
yeah.
You can tell. Like, most of the time, like, if it was you, I would assume that it was a kid-related
matter. Kid or family-related, yeah.
Right? And with me, it probably BTJ threatened me with some sort of physical violence, right?
Yeah, sure, or maybe something with one of your older kids, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
But a long shot, maybe.
Yeah, but with Rop, I never think that. With Rop, I always think that it's some sort of shady wheeling and dealing.
Sure.
Just, there's always something going on, and I just keep that in mind. You know, this is the Mount Bachelor thing. I think
you.
That there may be something there. All right, I saw this, and because we were going to talk NFL, but I'll wait for Rob to get back. I did want to bring up this story because Aaron Judge, who is one of the nicest guys. Oh, look at you!
Hello.
Have you finished your deal for Mount Bachelor? Look, we're on to you at this point. You can just come clean.
Look, I made an offer.
You can come clean at this point.
I made an offer.
I'm just saying, we all find it very suspicious that you're being very coy about the sale price of Mount Bachelor.
I made an offer.
We find out you're going to Mount Bachelor, and then you have to leave to, quote, put out fires.
I made an offer. We're negotiating. Not accepted. Yet.
And now you're just going down for an extended weekend down there?
But I'm on it.
Seems awful suspicious.
Everything blew up because we started talking about it. Now the cat's out of the bag, and Asachi, everybody at Asachi's going crazy.
You're in some trouble.
The office is nuts.
Yeah, they didn't. That's not what you wanted. It's not what you wanted.
Now,
it got leaked.
The whole world knows that Asachi will launch with a ski mountain.
We've been waiting. I mean, what says luxury?
Damn it.
Better than a mountain resort. And just so you know, we did have a bro text in, and I have no idea if he's full of crap or not, but he does say that he has a friend that's high up in that whole thing, and he said it's going to go for several hundred millions of dollars.
Oh, several hundred million.
That's what he's saying.
Yeah.
Is we'll that? I think he's just trying to play hardball with you now. They know that. I'm just like, all of a sudden we got competing offers.
I see how this is going.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. I'm not taking that bait.
Shots fired right now.
My $75 offer was considered. We're negotiating.
Just saying.
So what are you talking about, Aaron Judge?
Well, I was going to talk about the Aaron Judge thing because we're going to talk.
He had another home run today, huh?
Well, Aaron Judge, who's like one of the nicest guys in sports. Because I often say that Little League World Series, it's not my gig, right? I find it weird. I think a lot of the coaches are jackasses. So Major League Baseball had a big event out at Williamsport for the Little League World Series, where it was the Tigers and it was the Yankees. And they brought all the Little League World Series teams there, and the fans got to, all the kids and everyone got to interact with them. And there's photos of Aaron Judge, who, by the way, everyone says is like the nicest guy in all of sports. Like, just great to kids. And the Staten Island Little League manager. And by the way, of all the teams that this could be, the Staten Island guy.
Oh, no.
And if you don't know about Staten Island, it's got like the worst reputation known to man. His name is Bob Lazara. I guess he's like a longtime Staten Island baseball figure.
He's the coach?
He's the coach. He had the nerve to call out Aaron Judge.
For what?
He said, this is what he said about Aaron Judge, who, by the way, spent a good hunk of the day with all of the Little League kids. He said, hey, Aaron Judge, how about turning around or wave to the New York kids that think you're a hero? He said, they're the ones who pay your salary. He had the nerve to call out Aaron Judge because I guess when he was on the on-deck circle,
wow,
the kids were yelling at Aaron Judge, and he didn't acknowledge the kids by turning around. And this douche canoe actually went to social media and went on interviews and tried to blast Aaron Judge.
Huh. And Aaron, now, is he being widely panned?
Yes. He is getting absolutely slaughtered for it. Aaron Judge, by the way, said, I've got no response to that. He
and
said,
Yankee,
I'm not going to give him a response.
The Yankees because did respond on his behalf because they were pissed about it.
Oh, yeah. The Yankees took this guy to task.
Well, that's ridiculous.
They absolutely slaughtered the guy. He said this was a... Aaron Judge said he wasn't gonna respond to him. He said, we got a chance to spend a lot of time with quite a few kids in Williamsport, make a few memories, had a great time at the game. Besides the loss, I want that to be the focus. And he said, really, like, I don't put any weight into these comments. I play in front of 40,000 people every night, and I get booed if I go 0-1. And then Aaron Judge went at him and said, I'm not even going to dignify that with a response.
Aaron Boone.
Aaron Boone, who's the manager. He said, Aaron Judge is as good as it gets. The Yankees made a statement. So, I mean, just...
What a goober.
What an absolute goon. And this is why one of those things that rubs me the wrong way about the Little League World Series is that, unfortunately, and there may be a lot of great coaches out there, but you know there are so many of these Little League World Series coaches that think that what they're doing is way more important than it is. I mean, those kids get a chance of a lifetime to go and be around Major League ball players to have this wonderful experience. By the way, the Yankees said that they were inviting that team from Staten Island to a future Yankee game regardless. Hopefully they don't invite their coach. And then you turn around and you bite the hand of the most popular and by the way, one of the nicest players in Major League Baseball. I hope that they get invited and the Yankees don't invite that douche to the game.
That guy's a goob. But, you know, I can't say that I knew Aaron Judge was so...
I guess he is just beloved by everyone in the community.
I didn't know he was so, just congenial, I guess, would be the word. I don't know.
I guess if you're going to attack one guy in Major League Baseball about fan interaction, that's the last guy you should.
Why is he with the Yankees?
Yeah.
You know,
Should have been with the Giants.
Totally.
But I just love that. How about turning around or wave to New York and the kids that think you're a hero? They're the ones who pay your salary.
Yeah. Like that.
Way
by
to
the
go,
way,
Bob.
That guy's like a baseball. He's been in baseball, you said, for like 30 years.
He's the Staten Island coach, and he's like a long time guy
there.
Come on.
He, of all people, should know. I mean, the dude's. He's working.
Yes.
Why was that hard for me to say?
I don't know.
But he was, like guys aren't going to acknowledge anyone when they're at the plate, are they? Except for, who was the guy that yelled the, Jaron Duran.
Oh, yeah.
Except for him.
Yeah, he acknowledged it.
So maybe the kid should have yelled something.
yelled a slur?
Yeah.
But isn't that crazy? You want to think about the entitlement that someone has. I give you a Little League coach from Staten Island who wants to take Aaron Judge to task.
Again, 30%.
For not wavy.
30% of the United States are complete a-holes.
Yes.
And that's one of them.
I just was wondering, who's the bigger jackass? This guy or the flag football player that said he was better than Patrick Mahomes?
Well,
and by the way,
this guy.
A lot of the videos are coming out showing that guy throwing the football. Oh, boy, it is it's impressive.
Yeah.
Really, really impressive.
Look, I get where that guy's coming from. The flag football player.
Yeah,
he's wrong, but I get where he's coming from. This guy, there's no. I mean, that's just dumb.
Yes. As Joey likes to say.
That's just
look at this guy here. This is him.
That's Bob. Good old Bob.
Yeah. Good old Bob.
I have that Hoosh Doucette audio if you'd like it, by the way.
Yeah, we would like that.
And by the way, Bob spent $10,000 a couple years back to hire a private investigator to check on the ages of another team's players, and they found nothing.
Well, you can never be too careful.
Look at him. And he sounds exactly like you think he would sound. I just saw that yesterday, and it just... It brought back all my bitter feelings towards the Little League World Series. I want it to be something that's great. I want it to be about the kids, but I struggle with it.
You know,
because
of
the people that are around it.
The thing that pisses me off is that I'm sure that everything in Williamsport when the Tigers and Yankees were there was wonderful.
Yes.
And I'm sure that 95% of Williamsport when the Little League World Series is going on is wonderful.
Yeah.
But the things that get reported are things like this, or the 5% that, you know, gets a little squirrely. You know what I'm saying? Like, I hate that.
Yeah.
Like, where's all the, I mean, I haven't seen anything about Aaron Judge there until this. So where's all the video of him being great to the, you know what I mean?
Well, like, it's the idea to me is like we're constantly now trying to take little kids and try to make their sports into big time sports, right? With travel teams. Oh, we got to get our kids to play in these big stadiums. And it's like the big leaguers and we travel and we spend all this money. And it's like the kids don't actually just get to be kids. And that's the entitlement thing I'm talking about. Look, whether Aaron Judge did or didn't acknowledge anyone, the fact that you think that your kids going to Williamsport entitle them to spend time with Major League Baseball players, the fact that you think it's in, because you're a 12-year-old and you made it to that point, that you get to be on the field, that you get to be a Major League Baseball player, that's the sort of thing that bugs me about U Sports. We're trying to make it something that it's not. It should just be about kids playing baseball, but we're constantly trying to take it to the next level. It's like we're trying to make U Sports like college sports. We're trying to make high school sports like college sports, and we certainly have made college sports feel like the Olympics or the NFL or Major League Baseball. We're constantly trying to bump it up, and I hate to say it, but I think there's a lot of that entitlement that goes on with these Little League teams, right down to the what was it, like a couple years ago, Alyssa Milano's kid went and played in this, and she had the nerve to try to raise money to send her kid's team to the Little League World Series. You're a millionaire, for God's sakes.
Yeah.
I love the kids. I love U Sports, but boy, U Sports nowadays, it is the definition of an eye roll for me.
All right. When we come back, I guess we're going to hear from Flag Football Guy.
Yes.
And Tyreek Hill. Noah Lyles. It's heating up. But first, Buckwa Sports Center.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to LinkedIn.com/results to claim your credit. That's LinkedIn.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
Fantasy freaks and geeks, what's cracking? It's your boy James Coe back with my brand new project, the Sleeper King Football Podcast. Look, I get it, okay? There's a lot of fantasy pods out there, but we're going to keep this one light, 15 to 20 minutes, 4 to 5 times a week. And man, we are going to pack it with all the info you need, season long, weekly projections, and of course, sleepers, sleepers, sleepers. Follow and listen to the Sleeper King Football Podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
All right, we're back. Tin Barrel Brewing. We're partying. We're drinking pub beer. I just was out on the phone again. They came up a little bit. My offer from Mountain Bachelor has still not been accepted, but I'm working on it.
Vancouver Ford text line, the guy says, also, I'm not full of crap here. My dude really is high up there. He said, here's the text that I got from my buddy. You want to buy it? Couple hundred mil and a bunch of deferred maintenance. Could be an adventure.
Well, then I'm out.
We'll see what happens when you go down there this weekend. Just find it suspicious you're going down to Mount Bachelor.
Well, I'm going to... Well, I'm going in the vicinity of Mount Bachelor.
Well, that's how deals get made, right?
That's right.
It's like GMs in baseball. You just get around things and see what happens.
That's right. Okay, now we're going to hear from the flag football bro.
Yeah, who unfortunately has had a bunch of footage come out of him throwing the ball today, and it's...
What's his name again?
It's a rough... Deuce...
It's Darrell Doucette, but he goes by Hoosh because he looks like Hoosh. T.J. Hooshmanzada.
Yeah.
At the end of the day, I feel like I'm better than Patrick Mahomes because of my IQ of the game. I know he's right now the best in the league. I know he's more accurate. I know he has all these intangibles. But when it comes to flag football, I feel like I know more than him.
Oh, my God. Are you kidding?
Look at him.
Oh, my God, that's a terrible throw.
Look at this. He looks like an angst team drama, like on the CW, and that's the quarterback.
He does. He looks like he was cast. You know, like how they sometimes you get sports movies and they cast somebody who can't even, like, it's like, how could you find somebody that can't even throw a ball?
That's him.
That's him. Although he does complete that touchdown right there.
He does complete the touchdown. And he's got a glove on his hand.
But he's talking about football IQ.
Yeah.
What the hell?
Patrick Mahomes responded with
flag football IQ.
Yeah, Patrick Mahomes responded with the 50 Cent meme of him going me. Just out of here, you know. Patrick Mahomes is like, what? Are you talking about me?
He doesn't even care. Probably.
No, but he's
like Aaron Judge responding to that manager.
Well, it kind of goes. You were talking about the Noah Lyles, Tyreek Hill thing, and like it's to a larger extent. Like we now feel. Jake Paul has this like with boxing. It's like if you feel like if you get enough clicks, therefore you deserve the opportunity to go be like one of the best in the world. Like you, like that guy really thinks that Patrick Mahomes should have to compete against him. Like Jake Paul beats a bunch of washed up fighters and then thinks that he should have the right to go fight Canelo Alvarez. And then it's like, well, Canelo's terrified of me. He won't fight me. No, he's just the best boxer in the world, and he's not going to fight your dumb ass because you don't deserve it. And I thought Noah Lyles today kind of had the same point about Tyreek Hill that he made today.
Yeah, so Hill took to X, and he was encouraging Lyles to sign a deal to race him in a 50-yard dash.
50-yard dash.
And Lyles said, Tyreek is just chasing clout. Anytime someone fast comes up, he would try to race them. If he really wanted to race people, he would have showed up like DK Metcalf, and the man raced in the 60 meters this year in the Masters division. The man dodged smoke. I don't got time for that. He's challenging me. We're racing in the 100. We can race. If he's truly serious about it, and I'm not talking about you're just talking on the internet, you will see me on the track.
Yeah.
That's what Lyles said.
And he said, he went on to say, if you want to race me in the 100 meters. He said, I spent my whole life becoming the world's fastest man. He goes, you don't just get to jump the line to come race me in some arbitrary distance. He's like, if you want to say you're faster than me, here's the 100 meters, line up and race me. And I, you know, as much as I think Noah Lyles is kind of a blowhard, I think he's got a point.
So he's saying he doesn't want to do the 50?
No, he's saying if you want to race me, come to a track.
Why would Hill pitch a 50?
Because he knows
he can beat him in the 50 and not the 100?
Yes, he knows he has zero chance to beat him in the 100 meters. And so that's what I'm talking about. We've gotten to this weird like point in this world where we're someone who's an amateur. And yes, Tyreek Hill is an amateur runner. He just is. And he wants to go. That man just won the gold medal. And the 100-meter dash, and Tyreek Hill is like, well, I'm faster than he is. Therefore, you race me on my conditions. Why would the fastest man in the world go down to your level? And that's what I'm saying about, like, this jackass, flag football guy. Again, the Jake Paul thing. There's another guy. There's this influencer named Speed who's out there, and he's always challenging NFL players and professional athletes to do things. And it's just we've now reached this level where if you have a YouTube channel and you've got some followers, you think that now you deserve the right to call people out. And if they don't want to do what you want to do, then somehow they're ducking you. Like, as if the best in the world is ducking anybody. You literally just ran in the Olympics and you think he's afraid of Tyreek Hill? Stop it.
Now, this Yahoo Sports says Noah Lyles wants millions of dollars and no gimmicks to race Tyreek Hill.
Yeah. He's saying if you line up on a track with like what we do in the blocks, 100 meters, like I've done 1,000 times.
Then we can race.
We can race.
And he goes, wants a sponsor?
Yes.
And he says, it has to be legit. I'm not here to do gimmicks. You're racing against a guy who has worked his whole life. This is the quote you're talking about. To get the title of the world's fastest man, and you've worked to be a great football player. You can't just jump the line. Yeah. So.
Yes.
Okay.
It's like the most valid point in the world. It's like you get these people sometimes now that walk into like MMA gyms, like where UFC fighters are the best in the world, and some dumbass comes in off the street and is like, I'm tougher than you. I want to fight you. And the person's like, dude, get out of here. And they're like, you're a coward. No, but I'm a professional. I do this for millions of dollars. I'm the best in the world. You're an idiot on YouTube. I'm not. You don't get to come in here and fight me. Work your way up the ranks. By the way, sign a contract for millions of dollars, and then we can fight in the ring. But this, or in the cage. But yeah, we all have this thing now where it's like, well, it's the little, I'm entitled. I got a lot of buzz. Yeah. I got a lot of clicks. Well, therefore, I'm entitled.
I got to tell you, man, I'd love to watch Lyles against Hill.
Yes.
I'd watch it.
Yeah. But Tyreek Hill knows he has zero chance against him.
He's not going to do it.
He won't do it. Of course not. He might do it again if you did some sort of funky 50-yard dash with no blocks and all that, because then maybe you might stand some sort of chance. But, he's talking S. He's not going to line up and race him in 100 meters. He'll get dusted and he'll look like a clown.
I love that he offered him a 50-yard.
A 50-yard dash.
Yeah. I want to race. Could I beat Noah Lyles in a 5-yard race if he stumbles?
Yeah, if you trip him, maybe. You know?
I'm gonna get you to trip him, and I win.
Yeah, and people are pointing out Noah Lyles is not a great starter. He gets That's Tyreek Hill's like, oh God, maybe if I get out fast enough, over 50 yards, he doesn't have time to run me.
Yeah, because Lyles was famously in 7th place 50 meters into the 100 meter dash, and then he made up all that ground.
I was surprised. I mean, I haven't watched much of Noah Lyles. Just this last Olympics, I was surprised that, because they always said that about him.
Yeah,
it's like shocking.
Yeah,
how slow he is.
And then he just cooks everybody.
Yeah, it's crazy.
Yeah, but yeah, just these weird challenges now where nobodies are calling out. And again, Tyreek Hill isn't a nobody, but he's a nobody in the track world. The last time he ran was in high school, and I love how people are like, "Well, he was a fast kid in high school." Okay, you're talking about racing the Olympic gold medalist. And I thought that was at least a good point. At least DK Metcalf ran in a sanctioned track and field event.
All right, up next, who is the best deep passer in the NFL last season? It's Isaac Kinsuke. We're at Tin Barrel Brewing on The Fan. All right, we'll get to the club in a moment. But first, a quick analytics note. Have you ever noticed that, because you... Don't you do a pro football focus?
I do.
Are those analytics?
Yes.
Would those be considered analytics?
Those would 100% be considered analytics. They do and depending on which level you get, I mean, they go into all kinds of really, really deep, dives, and especially with quarterbacks. So, yeah, that's it. That's definitely an analytics-based approach.
And that's their own, it's their own numbers?
Yes.
It's like proprietary, Sean?
Yes.
Well... I was reading an article about the NFL and its approach to analytics. Now, Pro Football Focus is not affiliated with the NFL, so they can do whatever they want.
Yes.
Right, and put out their content, and you can pay for it, whatever.
Yep.
With the NFL, if you haven't noticed, they do not give you a lot of analytics when you go to their stat pages.
No.
And such.
Like, there's almost none of it.
Major League Baseball gives you everything.
Yeah.
NBA is certainly well beyond the NFL in this realm.
Yep.
But now, the NFL, I guess just this year, they are now offering NFL Pro, which is a tool that will allow football fans to geek out more than ever and get... It's basically a combination of traditional stats with advanced metrics, and it has game footage, and it's like this giant rabbit hole of information.
Oh, boy.
And the NFL is putting it out for the first time. It's called NFL Pro.
When does it launch? Is this available right now?
I would imagine within the next couple weeks.
Because I know there's been a trend recently about people wanting to watch all 22 and coaches film and this. I will say that... I think NBA fans, I know Danny's like this, Danny breaks down analytic stats, but I think it's not even close, and I think the game lends itself to this. I think a lot of NFL fans, because of all of the deep dive that content creators are doing, whether it's on their own pages or through big networks, I just think that the NFL fan is becoming more and more educated, and because it's such a chess game that people can't get enough of this stuff.
Yeah, and the league needs to keep up.
Yes.
I mean, you can't let everybody else do this. It's your
product.
So they're going to add it to NFL Plus, which is the league streaming service.
Yeah.
It allows fans to stream specific games and give them access to NFL Network in the Red Zone. The premium version costs $15 a month.
Okay, that's actually a lot cheaper than I thought. Pro Football Focus is kind of spendy. It's not cheap.
And this also says the NFL continues to explore the possibility of selling stakes in its media properties to strategic partners.
Huh.
So I didn't know that.
Yeah, I didn't know that either.
At any rate, one of these analytics that they have on here is the best deep passer in the NFL last year. Do you know who it was?
Might be Tua, maybe?
It was not Tua.
Okay. Well, it wasn't Tua. Actually, you know what? I do think I know this. I think it's Brock Purdy.
It was not Brock Purdy.
No?
C.J. Stroud.
Oh, okay.
Of the Texans. As it turns out, he accrued more expected points for his team on deep throws than every other passer in the league. He connected on 30 of 51 passes thrown at least 20 yards beyond the line of scrimmage, which is 58.8%.
Huh. I can't say I knew that.
And then they say they have a controllable for the difficulty of the passes, and he was expected to complete only 42.2% of them.
Hmm.
Yeah, and that's the type of data that it's all existed for years,
yeah.
But now you're going to be able to access it through the NFL.
And there's so many teams now. I mean, honestly, I don't know if there's a team that isn't deep into the analytics. I mean, you look at the coaches that are really successful now in football, whether you're talking about the Sean McVays and Matt LaFleurs and all this stuff and down in Miami, you know, Mike McDaniels, and these guys are smart. These guys are the days of, like, and I'm not trying to throw shade at Mike Tomlin, because I think Mike Tomlin's a really, really good coach, but Mike Tomlin is more of a CEO type coach, and I think the game is certainly trending more towards analytic smart nerds.
Yeah.
You know, that are really detailed. When you look at, like, what Kyle Shanahan does with motions and shifts and, you know, and all this stuff is, in fact, I was reading something today on Jordan Love, in fact, that, you remember at the start of the year, Jordan Love didn't go gangbusters. Like, Jordan Love had some rough spots at the beginning of the season, and it was Matt LaFleur that changed it up. And in the second half of the season, they went from motion on 40% of the snaps to over 65% of the snaps.
Yeah.
And they went under center. They changed under center or from shotgun to under center by over 30%. And they went way more play action. And they stopped throwing deep all the time. But when they did throw deep, because of the play action and the motion, it was actually way more effective. So, as good as Jordan Love was, and he balled out last year, there was a concerted effort on that coaching staff to say, hey, what we're doing is not working, and I guarantee you that some of that was analytic-based. So, when you look at the teams that are really successful with young quarterbacks, it is moving to formation, shift, under center, play action pass, and all of that is numbers, so that when you're 4 or 5 weeks into the season, and you look at this and say, hey, when we're in motion and we're under center and we're running play action, we're this, you know, these are our yards expected. This is our DVOA. This is all these things. This is our completion percentage. And when we're not, I mean, it's easy now to look at these stats and be like, hey, we need to move towards these things. And if you're not using that, you're living in the dark ages.
Yeah.
The NFL is an age of information.
I just wish that we knew more about that. That stuff. I mean, I just wish that were more readily available.
Yeah.
You know, because that's a good point about Jordan Love.
Yeah.
What is, like, that, fans love that. They will eat that up.
Yes.
So, just understanding that, or maybe the journalists aren't doing a good enough job of,
well, it's just,
or maybe they're just keeping it too close to the vest. There's probably a lot of reasons it's not out there, but
it's just, and it's such a deep dive, and some of it can be kind of monotonous. And look, I'm not going to say that I'm, like, slogging through, like, all of this stuff, but I do try to pay enough attention, and I try to pay attention to trends. Like, if you want to know what a trend is for young, successful quarterbacks, it is simple, and it's what we talked about. A lot of shifts, a lot of motion, under center, play action pass. That is the recipe to have a good young quarterback. And those that don't do that, dude, you do it at your own peril.
Yeah.
But I mean, there's tried and true things, and so there's trends that go on both sides of the ball. And staying up on those trends, I think for a lot of fans, and kind of understanding the nuances of the game and how the game evolves and shifts, because there's constant evolution, I do think that that, like you said, I think that's, it's been a hidden secret, but I think that information is getting out more and more, and more fans are eating it up. And the nice part is it makes for a more intelligent fan base. 100%. It makes for a more intelligent community.
100%. All right, that's going to do it for sports. When we get back, I will update you on how many times I have peed as it is getting to be crunch time. And simple things that make you happy. That's next on The Fan.
Well, I had to squirt.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
Fantasy freaks and geeks. What's cracking? It's your boy, James Kell, back with my brand new project, the Sleeper King Football Podcast. Look, I get it, okay? There's a lot of fantasy pods out there, but we're going to keep this one light, 15 to 20 minutes, 4 to 5 times a week. And man, we are going to pack it with all the info you need. Season long, weekly projections, and of course, sleepers, sleepers, sleepers. Follow and listen to the Sleeper King Football Podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
In life, some days are good, and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work. Both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey, and then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not-so-good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey, and welcome it. It's unique, and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.